If you have your Bibles with you this morning and would like to follow along, I'm going to be reading out of the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. I may just read the whole first chapter. It's not very long, just 14 verses. Starting in verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. And again, when he bringeth into the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them, who shall be heirs of salvation? Okay, that's the reading out of this. And my thoughts this morning is something that I've been thinking on. Basically, I've been thinking about this for, a couple or 3 weeks, this thought that I have this morning. And it's simply about change. You think about the things that we've seen change in the world and the times, just in the times that we've been living here. We think about the changes that's come to pass, and we see the many things that's happening. And you think about, well, I did. I just, you think about God. What the Bible says about God and about basically God is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness and the scepter of thy kingdom. He does not change. It spoke about him in the first few verses here about how in the beginning of times, it says in sundry times and divers manners spake to the fathers and the prophets, basically saying that, you know, in the Old Testament times and different, you know, he spoke to the people in different ways. He had different things. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. We talked about the Levitical priesthood a little bit, about the law, how God spoke to his people and he gave them laws. He gave them instructions and directions for them to live by. And he didn't do this to be some kind of an overbearing God. He did this because he knew that's what we needed and that's what was the best for us. We still live in those times today, and we still see and understand how God is speaking to us, and how God is through his word is still he's still present with us. And you think about how the Bible tells that God does not change. See, you can look and you can read in the Bible and you can see what God instituted as being right and what God instituted as being wrong. And it doesn't make any difference what the world says that we live in today in accordance to what's right and what's wrong. What God says stands. It stands. It's what's being right. The statement was made in Sunday school this morning that we're to follow God rather than man. And I think that's an important thing for the time that we live in today, that we understand that we are to follow the direction of the Lord. Now, it is an important thing that we are to pray for our country and that we're to pray for our leaders. Because I think they're off track in some areas. And the things that I just can't help but to think about this. And you know, I'm not for sure of the time period. I don't know when or how this is. But this verse just keeps coming to me out of the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations. And we, those of you that know the Bible, know and understand that this is having due to the end of time and the last days. Now, you can look in the Bible and you can find about the last days that they was speaking in the Old Testament of the last days of when the Messiah would come, when Jesus would come. You can look and see from the teachings, from all the apostles, that they thought they were living in the last days. Last days of time. When is the last day of time? Well, the Bible tells us, as many people, I believe, found out after they was trying to follow this thing where the world was supposed to end last week, you know, that man doesn't know just exactly when that's going to happen. We don't have that power. We don't have that ability. The Bible tells us that the Lord is going to come back and He's going to be as a thief in the night. That no man will know the day or the hour. And I believe it's just exactly that way, that we will not know the day or the hour. But I believe there are a lot of telltale signs of when the Lord does come back. And you know, and it says here in this, I keep thinking about this 20th chapter and this third verse, and it has reference to Satan here. And about something that's going to go on. It says that he must be loosed a little season. I don't know when that is having reference to. I'll just tell you right up front. I don't know exactly when that's having reference to. But, you know, I talk to people at work, and I see people out there every day, and I know most of these people, they don't even go to church anywhere whatsoever. But they see that there's a great evil that is overbearing in this world today that we live in. All the things that is going on, and you know, I've preached on a few of these things recently, and I think it's just, you may say, you know, you're just rehashing some things, but there is a great evil that is unleashed in this world today. And it's very, very, very prevalent. It's very wide open in our face. I don't know. You think about all the deaths, and I mean, I was driving over here today and I looked up, you know, and there's that sign up on the interstate that tells how many people died. And now it's over 1,000 people that's just died in car crashes, you know. But all the horrific things that is going on in the world today and the prevalent evil. In this reading that I read here, that in this ninth verse, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. This is speaking of Jesus. You know, you think about as we go through life, and maybe as we grow in the Word of God, how that as we do these things, we learn that there are things that we're not supposed to do, and we do them, maybe not necessarily voluntarily, but because we're supposed to do it. You know, we don't enjoy doing it. The Lord that we serve today, Jesus, He loved righteousness, though. He loved it. Many times we feel uncomfortable or we don't necessarily want to do it because it's not going to make us happy or it's not going to be something that it's not one of them feel-good things. But Jesus loved righteousness. He loved everything was right. And that everything that was good and everything that was pure and everything was lovely, all those different things that the Bible tells us about, He loved them. And we find out how God does not change. You know? God does not change. From the very beginning, we know that Jesus came to this world and He was sinless and in His mouth there was found no guile. All these different things, how Jesus was perfect. But even in the Old Testament, we find many things about God. And we see how over in the 102nd Psalm, reading a few verses here from the 25th through the 28th, it says, "Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as the vestures shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. And the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." There's no change in God. There's no change to the way He thinks. The way He looks at sin. There's no change. There never has been, and there never will. Over in the book of Micah, in the third chapter, in the sixth verse, "For I am the Lord, I change not. I change not." We can look. There's so many places. We can look over here in the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we can find that it talks about the immutable counsel, that it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation who have fled to lay for the refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. In verse 17 it says, "Were God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, unchangeableness." He's unchangeable. He's unchangeable in His Word. He's unchangeable in His being, in His deity, in everything that we as a human being, as our minds can fathom and know and understand about what God is. He is unchanged from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of creation, He is unchanged. I believe He's unchanged about these things. And as we think about these things and we look at them, we think about how we as God's people have just so much of an important role in the world that we live in that we just overlook. I mentioned already some of the things, you know, our ability and our responsibility to pray. To pray for the world that we live in. To pray for our leaders. It's been mentioned a couple of times today. To pray for one another. And, you know, I don't think this is anything that's new to anybody. But it's such an important aspect, or should be, of our lives. Such a daily part of our routine. Because it's, in all honesty, This world is counting on us. This world is counting on us to do our part. You know, you think back many times, where would we have been today had it not been for all those before us that fought the fight, prayed the prayers, done the work, done the due diligence, laid in there, did their part, working for the Lord, day and night, 7 days a week, doing their part. And it might just be me, but I see just so much evil in this world. So much evil working, so much stirring. And our effects. I was thinking, I thought about this stuff, about how, the Mayan calendar said that there was, the world was going to end and all this. And there's so many people that believe that. People built bunkers and stored food, and they did all kinds of stuff because of this prediction. But what if we knew the world was going to end tomorrow? Now I know we don't. But what if we did? What would we be doing different? Is there anybody that you know and that you love, that you care about, that hasn't been saved by God's grace, that you would want to speak to? Would you have enough time in your life with material things here on this earth be so important at that point? Would our fun and our what we call joy and our happiness, would that become the prevalent aspect if we knew the Lord was coming back tomorrow? Or would it be the souls of those that have not been saved? Well, we don't know that the Lord is not coming back tomorrow. We don't know that. That's one thing that we can say for sure. According to God's Word, we don't know that He's not coming back. Our responsibility and our purpose that the Lord has got for us in this old world that we're living in, there's a lot of different changes that has come about. There's a lot of changes that's come about in my life from the time that the Lord saved my soul till this point. Time that that He called me to be a preacher up until this point. There's so many changes that there has been made in my life. And I hope and I pray that I've grown closer to the Lord in those changes and those steps and those plateaus in my life where the Lord has intervened and He has looked upon me to do just a little bit more for Him, to try a little harder. As we look into this time of year, and we say quite often, everybody comes into the year and they make some sort of commitment to do something a little different. Most of the time, you want to lose a little weight or you want to do something a little different, and I need to do that. But this old world that we're living in is not in the best of shape, just to say the least. And how long the Lord is going to allow this world we live in to go, we can look back in the Old Testament and we can find how that when God's people turned away from God, what happened to them? Their every world power that's ever been known to man, that's been recorded in the Bible, has been destroyed, has been demolished. It's been overtaken, overrun. And God allowed it. He's allowed those things because they turned away from God. It was mentioned this morning about God lowering a hedge. He lowered a hedge on all those powers and all those forces that had all the big armies and all the money and all the strength and all the power. And they were all brought down. We are living in a bad time right now. I don't think it's probably any worse than anything that we can read about in the Bible, but we live in a time today that people don't love the Lord. Many people don't know Him. They don't know about Him. It's basically a world that just everybody is serving themselves. That's the reason we have this great responsibility, this great thing that God has given us to do, a great responsibility. I think about over here in this, how the Apostle Paul over here in the third chapter of the book of Philippians, not as though as I had already attained either, were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing towards the mark of the high calling. It is a great and high calling. When the Lord sealed your soul, when He saved you, you became part of that high calling. High called. You was called from on high to be a part of His kingdom, to be a part of His family, to be a part of His inheritance, to be a servant. And to do those things. I would just ask us, as we enter into this new year, where as a traditional thing, we try to make changes for the better. That part of the changes that we make for the better this year will be something that will be pleasing to God. That our prayer life will increase. That our concern and burden for the lost . How often, I'll just ask, how often do we are we kept up at night by the burdens of our lost loved ones? Does it bother us that they're lost? Does it stir us? Does it worry us that tomorrow the Lord could come back? It should. Those of us have been saved by God's grace. We have something inside of us that we know it's real. It's not just some myth of a reading of a man out of a book. It's something real. It's a supernatural experience that happened to us that enabled us to know that our God is real.
those that don't have that. He tells of those that place where they're going. He tells of the pain and the suffering and the fire and the flames and the darkness and all those things that will go on for them through eternity. I just pray that the Lord will use this church in a great way this year. And you know, I believe He will. If we're all willing to just get in and do what He wants us to do. If we're all willing to be those servants that we've been called to be. That part of that priesthood that the Apostle Peter speaks about over there in his writings. That priesthood to tell people about Jesus. To keep telling them about Jesus. Because I don't know if this is the season where Satan has been loosed for a little time or not. I really don't. I don't know. But I know one thing. There is a great deal of evil that is being portrayed in this world today. A great deal of evil. And I don't know if that has anything to do with this, but I hope. I don't want to see it if it's not, I don't want to see it. I really don't want to see it if it's not. If it's going to get so much more worse, I don't even want to see it. Let's pray for one another. Let's just be diligent about doing what God would have us to do. Let's be about the Father's business. And I know He wants to bless His church. I know He wants to save souls. He came, that's what He said. He came in this world to save sinners. Jesus came to this world to save sinners. He wants to do that. He means every word. He has not changed. But let's just do what God would have us to do. And let's put what counts first. Let's put what counts first. And let Him take care of the big things. Let's just try to do our part. God bless y'all all. That's my mixed message this morning and thoughts. But you know, I believe the more that we serve God and the closer we get, the more that we love that righteousness, just like our Lord and Savior. We love that righteousness the more because we become more Christ-like. And we hate that iniquity. We hate that sin. We don't want to be around it anymore. We want to separate ourselves from it. And that's part of it. God bless each and every one of y'all. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning. I don't mean this to be on doom and gloom. I really don't. I don't even like being like that. But there's some serious things upon this world right now. There really is. And to say that it's not, would just be wrong. And we just gotta, you know, we're in that battle. We just need to get that armor on, and we just need to keep fighting.
keep hanging on, doing what God would have us to do. With all hearts and minds for you, all standing, we'll be.
Thank you all for coming today. I would ask the person that that does the blessing to bless the food. If you're here visiting with us today, I want you to stay and eat with us because we got a lot of good food down there.
I know.
I cooked myself. This morning. And I bet it's really good. Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this Lord's day. Thank the Lord for the blessings of life. Thank the Lord for each one that's been out this day. For each member, for each visitor that's here. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the message of truth that we've heard. Thank you.